Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Time now for headlines as we predict what will happen on Sunday as the Packers take on the Vikings at Lambeau Field.
Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher.
I'm going to do something crazy.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
I'm going to say kissing cousins. Pack bikes tied.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
He missed it again! And we'll end this crazy game in a tie. Oh my goodness.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Hey Tausch.
Yes, sir.
Why it takes so long to get a contract extension?
Not a Packers or Biden their time.
A couple of headlines, throwbacks there to kick off the 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch. News surfacing after yesterday's show wrapped up. The Green Bay Packers, this is according to Ian Rappaport, and standout defensive tackle Devontae Wyatt agreeing to terms on a three-year, $57 million contract extension. $20 million signing bonus for Devontae Wyatt, former first-round pick a couple of years ago. Devontae Wyatt going to be around for a few more years on the defensive line for the Green Bay Packers. Tausch, you like that contract extension?
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. I love the contract. That's, again, $20 million of the $60 million is, you know, very low from a guarantee standpoint. The Packers continue. Russ Ball is really good at his job. He's, you know, given guys the money that if they are great players, they're going to earn. And if they're not, the Packers don't get really hamstrung. There's a couple of guys, obviously Mike and Jordan, that get the big boy guarantees. The Packers identify their young players, and after they've proven to a certain point, they will get rewarded. That is the best way to run an organization. The Packers do that. But what I find most interesting about this, because you have now seen the Green Bay Packers, and it really started after the loss to the Bears and Packer fans and people saying, oh, this Matt LaFleur, I can't imagine him coming back in that locker room. And what this tells me is that Ed Policy and the organization believes that last year's team was good enough to win a championship. We were snake bit. And the young players that are the core, Goody has said numerous times, and Jason and I have talked about this a bunch, if you're not a big-time player, you're not getting a second deal. The Packers feel like they got a lot of big-time players in their core, and they're identifying them, and they're getting them on contracts that they like, that the team likes, not them. And if they don't, they move on. If they can't come to terms, they let them play out their deal, and they let them go. So the Packers identify. They then say, here is the operation. This is what we're doing. If you don't like it, play this year out. Good luck to you. We'll take a comp pick. And what this tells me is that the players want to be there because they are probably giving up some guarantees and money. But what it really tells me is the Packers are identifying and looking at these players and saying, we got the guys. We have the right guys to win a championship. Now we need to keep guys healthy, and we need to strike while the iron's hot, because this window, as you keep saying, and Tucker Kraft will be next. His deal will get done, I do believe, before Dream Drive opens, but maybe it'll be a little bit into August. It'll be done before the opener against the Vikings. You're now looking at your core for 3 years. You have a three-year run rate here of, we think this team is a champion, and now they got to go out and do it. The organization has paid the piper. They're paying their guys, and they're saying, we will supplement with everybody else, but this is our core, and this group is going to be who leads us to win a championship. And the Packers feel really good about that. That's why they've done what they've done.
Devontae Wyatt, contract extension, 3 years, $57 million, 20 guaranteed. Coincidentally, Devontae Wyatt showing up at number 10 just a day or two ago in Jason Wilde's countdown of the most important Packers of 2026 at Channel3000.com.
Yeah, I think he has just unfortunately gotten dinged up at the wrong times, because it feels like he's coming on and he's had big splashes. And then something comes up and he misses games, and it's just, then he comes back and he's not healthy and he can't play. And you see, it is so vital. And I think one of the more underrated Green Bay Packers, it was a teammate of mine. And I think we all look back at that Super Bowl championship and we think Clay and we think BJ with the fridge move and all this other stuff. And critical pieces that were drafted in 09, developed, and obviously had great careers in Green Bay. Cullen Jenkins was someone that I think his interior pass rush allowed Clay to make plays. That disruption, and then you remember Howard Green making the big hit that was the Nick Collins pick. Those players are vital. Devontae Wyatt is a talent. He's a first-round talent, and when he's healthy, he is disruptive. Imagine if Micah Parsons coming off the edge and Devontae Wyatt wreaking havoc in the middle of opposing offenses. All of a sudden, if you can't protect – when you're playing Micah, you're going to tell your centers and guards, you got to be firm because that quarterback's not going to drift. That quarterback will have to stay very in tune with the pocket. Devontae Wyatt's a pocket pusher. He is somebody that's disruptive. And the Packers obviously feel that way, that they said, we're going to go another 3 or 4 years now. If Devontae's hurt and doesn't, they're going to get out of this contract and feel this is the price of doing business. This is really probably, if I'm guessing, a two-year commitment. You have these 2 years with Mike under the deal he's under, Jordan with his contract. This is where the Green Bay Packers feel we need to strike while the iron's hot.
One more question on this. We're going to play trivia coming up after this before we get to Dom Catronio of Brewers Extra Innings on 620 WTMJ joining us. So you said this is the three-year window, and obviously I think you're right. Like, you look at Jordan Love, Micah Parsons, now Devontae Wyatt, the receivers that
Watson,
have been
around. Reed.
Like, Kraft is going to get
Young
his.
Golden.
Like, you've got this runway here. Going back to what Evan said, which I'm scared to do a little bit, but I just want to play devil's advocate. Is it concerning in any way that the Packers are committing to this being the team that they believe is the Super Bowl contender that can potentially be the next dynasty in the National Football League with all these guys locked in for the next few years when their resume to this point is fairly incomplete?
Everything's dangerous in the NFL. You give out a bunch of money, you're banking that guys are going to stay healthy and be highly productive. I don't have a problem at all betting on the guys, especially with the wagers that you're putting. These, if you're going to Hard Rock Casino Rockford terms, this Devontae Wyatt contract is, you're getting probably 6-1 on your money. If Devontae Wyatt is the baller that we hope he can be, his contract is going to look really good. The same thing is with Watson. The same thing. Now, your premium talent with Micah and with Jordan, you're paying premium prices. They need to be premium players. I think for now, we can obviously say Micah Parsons is a premium player. Jordan Love, while I like his trajectory, he probably needs to be in these MVP mixes. He needs to elevate everybody else. I believe he can. But when they gave him that contract, and now the bill is coming due. They've had the little nice installment plans. That cap number is going to get bigger and bigger, and you're going to take up more resources. Not so much that they're not able to handle these other players, but this just reaffirms to me that when Green Bay was in that game in Denver and they lost Micah, and then they didn't win another game, the Green Bay Packers felt like at that point, even with Tucker not being there, they felt like we are good enough to win a championship. Obviously, things unfurled. They weren't. But that did not change the resolve of Ed Policy in saying, we're going to bring Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst back. We're going to bring Russ Ball back. We're bringing Devontae Wyatt back. We're bringing Jaden Reed back. We're bringing Christian Watson back. That tells you, again, don't listen to what they say. Watch what their actions tell you. The Green Bay Packers postseason and how they handled their business this offseason tells me two things. We are dang good enough to win with our guys staying healthy, and we needed a little bit more veteran leadership so that we don't have these disgruntlements that have occurred within our locker room. That's how the Green Bay Packers are operating, and they believe that this is a good enough team to win a championship. And the price is the price. The Packers are paying that price. Now will the players and the coaches figure out how to get there? That's why the NFL is the best.
You can see more on the Devontae Wyatt extension from Jason Wilde. He has a separate article up at channel3000.com on the extension. He also lists Devontae Wyatt as number 10 in his countdown of the most important Packers of 2026. Time now for trivia. 844-770-3776. Caller number 10. That seems appropriate. Devontae Wyatt, number 10 in Jason's countdown. And we're talking about him with the contract extension. Caller 10 right now at 844-770-3776.
95 is his number, right?
Yes.
It is.
But we're going 10. I already said 10.
No, it's fine.
Daytime Wollersheim said, I want to write these trivia questions, because he came at me for trivia a couple of weeks ago filling in.
What did he say? They're too easy or too hard?
He said it, I was patronizing the fans, I believe, at one point.
I mean, you are.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to play by the rules, so I made it a little easier today. But
so
yeah.
These are Ryan's questions. I got nothing to do with them. I'm just going to ask a couple of them.
Is there anything you like more than not having any accountability?
Taking credit for things I didn't do when it goes well.
That's a really good answer.
Caller 10 right now at 844-770-3776. We'll play trivia. That's 844-770-3776. Caller 10, trivia next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Wilde and Tausch, Jesse and Tausch today. Jason's summer sabbatical continues. Dom Catronio, Brewers extra inning, 620 WTMJ, talking Brewers, best team in baseball, scheduled to appear. Coming up next, before we get to Dom, though, it's time for a Badgers Trivia Tuesday on Wilde and Tausch Trivia.
Wilde and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Cousin Subs. Cool down with the summer shake from Cousin Subs. Enjoy four delicious flavors, vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, and mint. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. And by Vortex Golf. Trivia winners this week receive a hat, ball marker, sticker, and a blade rangefinder courtesy of Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
I was watching on the video stream. I've seen Tausch still doesn't put a lid on his coffee. Welcome in Brian in Williams Bay. Brian, welcome to Wilde and Tausch Trivia. God, you play every week, dude. What's going on here? How you been?
Well, I've been well, and I hope you're not tired of having me on.
Tausch might be. I'm good. I like
Brian.
No,
I like
you.
Competing. Compete. You didn't win last week. You're going to win. Keep fighting until you win. I'm totally on board with that.
I didn't make it any easier
for you guys.
That's what Ryan says. Badgers Trivia Tuesday. All right. Ryan's questions for Brian in Williams Bay. Here is question number one. This former Badgers volleyball player will not play for Madison's pro team, Love Madison, this coming season. Who's not playing for them? Is it Caroline C.C. Crawford, Mimi Collier, or Jesse with an I, M. Nelson? Wow.
Could you give him again, please?
Who's not playing for Love Madison volleyball next year? Former Badger. Caroline Crawford, Mimi Collier, or Jesse Nelson?
I'll do Jesse Nelson.
Yeah, that's a Wooly special here. Daytime Wollersheim.
Do we know that for sure, though? He has a chance. He claims he could play for the Mallards.
It's true.
Is there a chance? You're a big star producer on a 10-year running show?
I am never going to say that I could play one
Why
point
couldn't you? It
for
could be
Love
the same
Madison.
Thing.
No,
that mean you're going to totally be good at
different.
It.
Yeah. Totally
Jesse,
different.
If somebody hits a line shot to you at second, you ain't making that play.
I
just
know
like
what
if
you're doing. I know what you're
what
doing.
What am I doing?
You're trying to get me to sign up to go out to a Love Madison volleyball practice and have them slap a bunch of balls at me and give me a bunch of bruises in my face. That's exactly what you're trying to sign me up for right now. I see this
sound
little
graph that. Because that, I am not repeating any of what Jesse just said about slapping thing. I'm not going down that road. I will read this question, which is question two. Which of Luke Fickell's former assistant coaches from Cincinnati is now the head coach at Notre Dame? Is it Marcus Freeman, Mike Denbrock, or Brian Kelly?
The first one.
You nailed it.
Damn.
That
first
is correct.
One. Marcus Freeman. Family's back together.
That'll be a saucy reunion.
I was thinking
saucy.
I honestly thought Brian might go with his namesake, Brian Kelly, there.
Who's Mike Denbrock? I know that name. Who is he?
He's the offensive coordinator at Notre Dame right now, actually.
Okay.
Was the offensive coordinator with Luke Fickell at Cincinnati as well.
That's going to be saucy. That'll be saucy.
September 6th at Lambeau Field. Thanks, Tausch. All right, question three, Brian in Williams Bay. Who is the only Badgers football player ever to win the Jim Thorpe Award, which is given to the best defensive back in college football? Who won that award? Was it Hunter Wohler, Jamar Fletcher, or Terrell Fletcher?
Jamar Fletcher.
It was. Jamar Fletcher is the correct answer. Number two, I believe, right? Number two.
That is correct.
Jamar Fletcher.
That is correct.
I had a pre-NIL, I had a Jamar Fletcher jersey that wasn't actually Jamar Fletcher jersey.
Whose jersey
I was,
a kid. Was it?
Number two. Just generic number two. Wisconsin Badgers when I was a kid.
Likely story. Sounds like Jesse was breaking the rules back in the day.
Fletcher won the award in 2000 when he led the Big Ten with six interceptions.
That's a heck of a run here from Brian.
Brian, you got every question right. One could say you were patronized a little bit with how easy these questions were.
And these were not easy ones. Honestly, Brian stepped up to
the plate. I was the answer to one of them. It can't be that difficult.
Well, these are pretty easy.
I have been told that the first question has to be an absolute layup, so therefore I made it an absolute layup. The next two were not layups at all.
Brian, good luck in the drawing on Friday.
I've been told you've been difficult, so they were a difficult question.
Brian, we appreciate you playing as always, and I'm sure we'll hear from you again next week, regardless of how it goes this week. Thanks.
What I learned from
this. Always good to talk to you.
Great work, Brian. Great work. Four entries. I learned that Jesse is going to go to a practice and he's going to play volleyball. You are the studio host for the Wisconsin Volleyball Radio
we'll be back
Network
for a third year this
here
year.
On 100.5. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This, to me, there is a lot of crossover with former players. This needs to happen. When does Love Volleyball start?
I told you this was his game.
I didn't bring it up. You did.
I could see it in your eye.
I did perk up.
You could return a serve in a volleyball match.
When people make outlandish statements, I like it's when people make guarantees.
Which, for the record,
when NBA players make guarantees, I said, put your salary on it then if you're going to guarantee it. You're going to leave it at 100%.
I said I could not return a serve in a volleyball match.
No, but
match.
You said you could play. You can't. You could not play a good second base for the Mallards.
We would be fine for one inning with me playing second base for the Mallards.
And so would they be fine for 1 point because they could lose a point with or without you. This needs to happen.
I believe in you, Jesse. I think you could do it.
I think if someone smashes, I think you could probably dig it up. They call it digs, right? Is that digs, they not do that?
Jesse things. Could be a great libero. I could see it.
And you're a content creator. That's what you do. You love volleyball. That's why you're working the halftime.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Mm-hmm.
This is easy. I bet our friend John Adias could help. I bet our teammate Jada, she could help.
Yeah, see, he's already angling.
This will happen. This needs to happen. I think it'll be great.
Dom Catronio of Brewers Extra Innings on 620 WTMJ joins us to tell me if I could play second base for one inning in place of Bryce Terang, and the team would still have the best record in baseball. We'll do that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
You can't sit here and tell me that you're comfortable with the idea of the Green Bay Packers playing eight games without Mike Parsons.
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
That's very uncomfortable. That's extremely uncomfortable.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
Waking up on July 21st, 2026, the Milwaukee Brewers are once again the best team in Major League Baseball. Best record in the big leagues, 100 games in after Miz takes down Freddy Peralta last night, the first of the set with the Brewers and the Mets. I was there to see it. So was this guy. He joins us now, host of Brewers Extra Innings on 620 WTMJ after every Brewers game all season long. Dom Catronio talking baseball with us on Wilde and Tausch. Dom, good morning. Happy Best Team in Baseball Day.
Yeah, it's become an annual thing now where around this time the Brewers get hot and they become the best record in baseball by percentage points. You know, if the Brewers and Dodgers end up tied, the Dodgers currently have the season series, but there's four more games head-to-head. But what's most important to me, guys, is the fact that they're one of the top two teams once again and thus, you know, in line to maybe get a bye with 62 games to go.
So, Dom, if I ask you why are the Brewers doing so well, what would be your one or two bullet points that you would reason for why they've been as successful as they've been?
I would say, number one, personnel-wise, they've been virtually the same the last 3 years as they're in this great window of success, where I know everyone talked about the one-year expiring trades, right, with, you know, with Corbin, with Freddie, with Devin. But you look at all the pieces that came back in those deals, they are all contributing in some way, shape, or form right now. They made those hard decisions to say, 1 year of control, what can we get to keep this machine going? Joey Ortiz has been great in the last month. You look at DL Hall, he's going to be an important, you know, piece. There's the first one with the Corbin Burns deal. Then you go to the Devin Williams deal, and Caleb Durbin gets flipped for Kyle Harrison and David Hamilton, who's coming back from the IL later this week, and then Shane Drouin, who got a win over the weekend against the Marlins too. There's another, you know, successful thing to do. And the third trade, of course, the Freddie Peralta deal. Brandon Sproat pitches tonight. Jet Williams is depth down in AAA right now, still waiting for his big league debut. And I think we all watched Freddie Peralta yesterday and went, yeah, I see why the Brewers traded him. They knew when it was time to let it go. And we'll talk to Freddie a little bit more in depth today. But I just think this team is unapologetically doing it their way, meaning maybe on the outside, people are freaking out, like, why aren't you keeping these guys for one more year? But on the inside, the team knows you've still got a core of Terang, Contreras, Yelich, and the resurgence of Andrew Vaughn and Jake Bowers to go with Garrett Mitchell being healthy finally. That's a really good top five in your order that any team would love to have.
So we saw limiting, obviously, Miz for a couple of weeks there, putting him down, giving him some rest, and then last night only going four. How do you see this rest of this season go, so to make sure Miz is primed and ready to go when the postseason gets going?
We saw this exact blueprint from the Dodgers last year, where we got to, you know, complain about the Dodgers being able to coast.
Now they have too many players. Yeah, they have too many good pitchers.
Yeah. But the NL West is so much worse than the NL Central. The Brewers don't get to, quote unquote, coast. But a 7-game lead with 62 games to go and 7 more head-to-head with the Cubs, you're feeling good. I'm not saying it's over. Do not say that I said it was over.
No clips. Hey, Dom, we're not going to clip you with
no
that.
No clips.
No clips on that. But the way I look at it is the Brewers are in this point where they know their best chance to win a World Series is to make sure Jacob Mizorowski and Kyle Harrison, for that matter, are good to go for October. And you're essentially restarting his spring training. You're going to take it slow here in these middle months when it gets hard. You got a 17 in a row lurking, so you got to make sure you get through this unscathed. There's no sense in redlining it right now when there is a real opportunity to redline it in 2 months' time.
So I think from a lot of our perspective, we saw obviously the unfortunate news with Woody and then Harrison with the elbow and then Miz sitting down. Should we be at all concerned depth-wise with pitching, and does that change the view of how the front office is looking at the trade deadline with some of those, you know, unfortunate things that have happened?
I don't think they are as concerned as the fans are, as in the front office is not nearly as concerned as the fans are. I think there's always a level of stuff that we don't know, as there's a line of what they, you know, you can overreact to a headline, Kyle Harrison IL with elbow. People will instantly think of the worst things you could think of. It's WebMDing yourself saying like, oh, I have a sore ankle. And it's like, no, you actually have bone cancer. It's like, it's that kind of thing where you overreact to whatever it may be. When I look at the Brewers pitching depth, again, Kyle Harrison throwing a bullpen today, they expect him maybe back in the rotation this weekend against the Rockies, at worst, maybe against the Giants on this next road trip. But the way I look at it, with Logan Henderson coming back, looking healthy, looking strong, he is a piece for that third spot. Shane Drouin has continued to just do his job every time he takes the mound as a 27-year-old rookie. He has been a great story this season, too. Robert Gasser, plug and play. And then Brandon Sproat is the sprinkles on top. Like, if you get anything out of Sproat moving forward, you're like, okay, yeah, that's the guy that the Brewers believed in coming out of spring training. And so far, the results haven't lined up to what they know he's capable of. So when I see the depth, knowing Harrison's coming back soon, knowing Miz is healthy, they're just being cautious of him, and knowing they have two chances with that third starter being Drouin or Henderson to be viable for the postseason, I know they're shopping, but I don't think there's a pressing need to overpay for a starting pitcher at the deadline.
What if, and this is some more conspiratorial things, and I was thinking, you know, last night with Peralta, the Mets are obviously staying and not doing great. Any chance the Milwaukee Brewers would say, you know what, we got our picks for Freddie, we got our players. Any chance that there might be a, oh, let's bring him back? You're shaking your head. No chance. 0%.
I'll give you the Matt Arnold. Give you the Matt Arnold answer. We're always open to conversations, and that is translation for no. I don't see it. I watched him yesterday. I've watched him throughout the season. I talked about it on my show last night. It's a different dude. I mean, I don't know if it's age. The under-the-hood numbers are not the same. You could say, oh, just get him back to a familiar spot.
The lab. Get him in the lab, Dom.
Yeah, get him in the lab, of course. I don't think that's doing a move for the sake of doing a move. And I don't think the egos, I'm not saying this is in a bad way, but like the egos of David Stearns and Matt Arnold to hit undo on that trade would be more of a hit on Stearns than it would be on Matt Arnold.
Oh, big
Whereas
time.
It's like, what, why? You know, that's kind of why I feel. And again, if Freddie was being Freddie, I'd be very entertained, because if the Mets weren't as bad as they were, you know, Freddie would having a good season probably wouldn't be as bad as they are right now. But I'm just saying, like, if Freddie was having a good season on a bad team, I'd listen to it. But Freddie's having a bad season on a bad team, and I don't think it's going to work out.
Or if you want 5 innings, 4 runs in every playoff start he ever makes, you could go get Freddie Peralta.
Well, I mean, it's like I'm looking at bullpen more right now. And I think if you want to do a reunion, and if you want to really throw something against the wall right
hater,
now, boys, if you want to...
Hater.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't think it's ever going to happen. I am straight up. There is no sourcing on this. There is no... Like, oh, I know something you don't know. No, this is me, the baseball fan, saying a year and a half of Josh Hader of team control, right? Or 2 years, I should say. I think he's controlled through 2028, $11 million a year. What if? Just what if? It's not going to happen. Like, I'm just telling you, right? It's not going to happen.
But it'd be fun. If,
how cool would that be?
It'd be really fun. Yeah.
Dom Catronio, Brewers extra inning, 620 WTMJ after every game, joining us on Wildy and Tausch, Jesse and Tausch today. Speaking of lefties in the bullpen, does Koenig just like stink now? He went down to the AAA. What's the deal going on there? He's supposed to be better.
He's trying to get it back on track, right? He essentially wasted spring training with, you know, convincing himself that his elbow was okay, making adjustments to, you know, nurse that elbow. Turned out he wasn't healthy. He goes on the IL 2 weeks into the season. And then, you know, it's really a lost first 4+ months of the year for him. So Koenig's actually going down to the Arizona League to, you know, the summer and get in the lab, hit the reset button, say, you're essentially restarting spring training. You're healthy now. We gave you the rest on the flexor tendon. Let's get you right. Because, again, any version of Jared Koenig as a lefty outgetter, let alone if he goes a full inning, if he's a lefty only guy, so be it. But we have seen Jared Koenig with 97 with sink and 94 with cut and then a really good slider. I mean, like, that's a dude I want to get right for October. Again, we talk about the coasting. You have an opportunity. Get Koenig right for October. That is literally all that matters for how the Brewers see him in his role for the rest of the year.
All right, I got a couple from the YouTube comments here for you, Dom, which is you know, always something dangerous to dive into. But Dr. Denver Dan, he likes your voice better than mine, for what that's worth.
Is that a question? So
that's nice.
That wasn't a question.
Should we trade prospects at the deadline, or do we need to trade prospects due to a logjam of middle infielders?
So it's a great question. I think I've asked Matt Arnold this a dozen times, and I come back to the answer that he gave me in spring training this year when I asked, like, hey, there's only one shortstop in the big leagues, and you signed him to an extension, right? And it's Cooper Pratt. There's only one third baseman in the big leagues. Enjoy your T's under team control for another 3 years, and you've got David Hamilton under control for 2 more years. And it's just like, okay. Then you've got Bryce Terang, who you hope to stick around here, and he's got 2 more years of team control too after this one. He said when he was with that 2008 Tampa Bay Rays team that went to the World Series that pretty much everybody on that infield aside from Carl Crawford, even in the outfield, everybody on that roster aside from their catcher and their Carl Crawford all-star left fielder came up as a shortstop. Like, it is very normal to have a position change in the upper levels or the minors. So I know we all see, oh, Madej is going to be a shortstop. Like, I don't know. Could he be a third baseman? Probably. Luis Peña, I don't think he's a shortstop. I have put my name to that take. I do not think Peña is a shortstop. I also don't think Peña is a second baseman. But maybe he's going to be a left fielder. Adam Shefsky, he's already been moved to the outfield. You look at Luke Adams versus Andrew Fisher versus Brock Burke. Like, yeah, there's a logjam on the corners there. That's where maybe you deal from a position of depth and you figure out what you want. I think the Brewers have always threaded that needle, balanced the scales very well of saying, here's somebody that we like. Dangle, you know, something shiny in front of another team for something that they need. They will do their best not to overpay at this trade deadline because they are smart with their prospects. They know their system, you know, so much better than so many other teams. And I think that there will be, if the Brewers are going to make some massive splash, there is going to be a name that Brewers fans are sad to let go of. But I think at the same time, this organization has earned the trust from fans to say, there's a reason they put this guy on the block. Let's trust them.
Tom Cotroneo, Brewers Extra Inning, 620 WTMJ. Got another question here from Chris in the YouTube comments. I was cheering for the new guy last night, Lance McCullers, when he came in out of the bullpen, pitched a couple of nice innings. What's the planned role for McCullers? Long relief like we saw last night, maybe some spot starts? It's weird when the new guy is also like the most decorated guy on the roster now.
Exactly, I think that's his exact role. You know, long relief, spot start. Kind of a Chad Patrick 2.0 role, you know, where he can come in and get multiple guys out. He is still getting comfortable with what the Brewers' way is. The cutter, I thought, looked really good yesterday. I thought the sweeper looked really good. He still has the great curveball. That's his signature pitch. Even threw more changeups than he's ever had in a game yesterday. I mean, like, again, sprinkling the Brewers. That's like, hey, man, like, this is a good pitch. Let's throw it. And sometimes fresh eyes, change of scenery, the mental aspect of that does so much. Just look at Andrew Vaughn last year. And I said that to somebody last week when they made that trade. It said, hey, people laughed at the Brewers when they acquired Andrew Vaughn. And look at it now. People laughed when they acquired Lance McCullers. Give it a month, and you'll see, like, oh, there's a role for him. Is he going to start game 7 of an NLCS game? No, probably not. But that's not what they're asking him to do. They're asking him to maybe get 3 to 6 outs in middle relief if they need it. He can go spinning against some righties. And what's the worst that could happen? He's not on the playoff roster? So be it. I think that's a pretty good deal to make at the time they made it because depending on what the Tigers do, because they're about to hit an easy part of their schedule after the Cubs, they may not make Scooble and Mize available. Joe Ryan's certainly not going to be available from the Twins. There's not a lot of pitching available at this deadline, so I think it was really savvy to go make that deal when they did.
All right, Dom, last one for me. Again, thanks for all of your insight. You're making our fans a lot smarter, Brewers-wise, and myself. You're seeing these young players come in, and I think it's always a fine line when you're trying to win a championship of weaving the young with the older guys, and you want to get this young talent. Do you think the Brewers are done as far as bringing guys up? Do you think with all of the great prospects that they have, who will be next in line, either to get that long extension or that's going to be a huge contributor on this push to go and try and win a World Series?
I think on the young front, they're pretty much done. I think that the young position player group is kind of set right now, barring injury, of course, where, you know, if an everyday player goes down, maybe we have a different conversation around Jet Williams or something like that. But from a pitching front, they're a little crowded. There's only so many chairs and musical chairs, right? So you can't just call up, you know, some of these guys like Tyson Harden has a great year down in AAA right now. There's not a lot of room in a playoff race. That's just the nature of the beast. Like, where is the landing spot for these guys to get their feet wet in the big leagues? Because it's hard to play in the big leagues. So I think on the extension front, I think the rest of the year it's going to be quiet. The real conversation is after the CBA is negotiated and we find out what the rules will be for the next 5 years. Will a salary cap get instituted or not? Regardless of whether or not it gets instituted, the Brewers are a very healthy financial organization. They will adhere to the rules, whatever they are. Like, I just think that the Brewers understand for an extension to happen, it needs to be 2 to tango, where, hey, Cooper Pratt was interested in it. Luis Lara was interested in it. Jackson Churio was interested in it. Just because an extension isn't made doesn't mean that the Brewers aren't interested in doing so. That's the big thing I remind people. Some guys like to bet on themselves, and they have every right to do so.
Last one for you, Dom. I'm looking for some validation on this one. Earlier in the show, I made the comparison. I feel like the 2026 Milwaukee Brewers are very similar to the 2014-15 made-em-believe Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team, in that Kentucky and the Dodgers are the top dog that everybody in the league is scared of, except the Brewers, except the Badgers that year, because they had lost the year before, and they said, we're going to do everything this year to get back to that chance to take that top dog down. Is that the sense you get being around this team almost every day, that they want their shot at the Dodgers come October?
Yes, and they got to make sure they win it all. I think that's the big difference, too, of course. I think that they know they are on a crash course once again with LA. Because even that series loss in Atlanta, they were the better team, in my opinion. I think they got to Chris Sale. They had a fluky home run from Ozzie Albies. Hey, he hit it over the fence. I can't complain. But then they stomped him on Sunday, right? That was one swing away from being a series win for the Brewers. And I think that the way that the Brewers have believed in themselves and believe in their system, believe in their operation, is the fact that everything they've done this year is to say, can this team beat LA? That is the goal. Because quite frankly, no matter what happens on the American League side, quite frankly, everyone in baseball knows the National League is where it's at this year. That's where all the behemoths are, between Philly, Atlanta, Chicago, Milwaukee, and of course, those Dodgers. All but one of those teams is going to lose the NL pennant. So can it be the team, the Brewers, who just got, you know, boat race last year 4-0 against LA and bounce back? And what a story it could be, right? To, you know, from rags to riches, to try to knock off world champs. Because to beat the champs, like Joe Davis said in the call, you got to beat the champs and you got to take them down. So it's all LA or bust.
Sounds like validation to me.
It was semi-validated, but Dom, as others,
I want to win the title. I don't want a validated team that hasn't won a title.
You can't lose then to the Yankees slash Duke in the finals. That's a fair...
Yes, exactly.
Very fair. Dom, thanks so much for the time. We always appreciate the insights. Like Tausch said, you make all of our fans smarter talking Brewers. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks,
boom.
Guys.
There it is.
Boom.
Dom Catronio, also hear him after every game. Brewers Extra Innings on 620 WTMJ. We will recap a lot of what Dom just said. There's a lot of Brewers takeaways to come away from that conversation. We'll see what Tausch took away from it most. Coming up next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
Is this the year the Brewers make a push at the trade deadline?
You open a window so you can climb through it. You don't open a window so you can sit on the ledge and wonder what's going to happen if you jump.
Madison's home of the Brewers, 100.5 ESPN.
Thanks again, Dom Catronio, Brewers Extra Innings, 620 WTMJ, Brewers All Access, joining us here on Wildy and Tausch. Jesse and Tausch today, what was your big takeaway from Dom there, old T?
Just on how strong, you know, Harrison being able to maybe be back either this weekend or early next, I think is positive. There's a little, he didn't want to get clipped, but the hater, yeah, I like that idea. I think that could be fun. But just the confidence in, I think, the organization and how this team is approaching its business on a day-to-day, and Dom's obviously there day-to-day. good vibes, man. I felt good vibes.
I do, too. And knowing that they have the Dodgers top of mind and they want the Dodgers and they know that's who they're going to have to be, that helps me feel validated in the comparison that I was drawing earlier in the show. One thing we have not done yet, it's been a very busy show, and it still will continue to be busy as we get into the 11 o'clock hour. We have not, on the air, unveiled our Steinhoffel sleeper of the last 10 years clue for this week. So let's go ahead and get to that right now.
All right, sleepyheads, wakey, wakey.
We'll have less sleep, we'll be grumpy.
Rise and shine. It's this week's Steinhoffel sleeper of the last 10
If you follow us on our social media platforms, you have already seen this clue. You have until noon to text your guest to 844-770-3776. I'm seeing a lot of correct guesses coming in, so get your chance to enter to win a $500 Steinhoffel's gift card, courtesy of Steinhoffel's. Again, the Wildy and Tausch 10th anniversary is presented by Steinhoffel's. Wooly, you want to throw that up here on the screen so that I can read it and so that everyone else can see it? Here it is. This versatile 2015 third-round draft pick scored 12 total touchdowns in more than two seasons in Green Bay, but he is perhaps most known for being traded immediately after a disastrous fourth quarter fumble in the 2018 season. This player is referred to fairly often on this program because it was pretty wild how the fumble happened and he was instantly traded that week.
Yeah, I think I know this one.
I think you do too. We will unveil who the identity of this player is at the end of the show, and then we will contact one lucky winner for a chance to win a $500 Steinhoffel's gift card as we continue our summer-long celebration of the Wilde and Tausch 10th anniversary presented by Steinhoffel's. The sleepers of the last 10 years on Wilde and Tausch is brought to you by Steinhoffel's. Shop Beautyrest mattresses. Queen started only $14.99 or get $500 off Beautyrest Black King adjustable base sets only at Steinhoffel's. Still to come in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll get back to some more Packers conversation, plus scheduled to appear, Good Karma Brands founder and CEO Craig Karmazin. You may know him from Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin, part of our 10 for 10 series built by Outdoor Living Unlimited. That's all still to come. Don't go anywhere. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.